If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, in fact, some of the rules related to fasting and Ramadan, since we are in the month of mercy, in the month of barakah, and in the month of Ramadan. So we're going to deal with this, in fact, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on Arabi English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Chabit, our guest speaker in the studio with us. Well, we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to Ramadan, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Chabit, let me start off this episode with this question. Imagine this scenario that there is a woman and her husband who are seriously sick and physically weak. Nevertheless, both of them fast. Sometimes it is quite evident that, you know, fasting aggravates their health and their illness. Can you guide us concerning the rule that applies to their fasting? Is their fasting valid?
Well, that's a good question. You know, many people feel, ill or unwell during the month of Ramadan, and they would like to know whether it's permissible to fast or carry on fasting or not. You know, the criterion in determining the inability to fast or whether fasting causes illness, or let's say aggravates the illness, or let's say hampers the quick recovery of the individual who is suffering from illness, you know, this is an opinion, you know, this has to be decided by the individual himself, you know. The person himself knows. No one else is a better, you know, source of understanding than the individual himself. He can look at his condition or his ability, whether he is able to fast, whether he is sick, whether he's okay to fast, or whether fasting has a negative effect on his poor state of health or not. In the event that he feels that fasting actually hampers his progress, his becoming better and better, then he should not fast, because health comes first. You have to give more importance to your health rather than to fasting.
I see.
And if you are not healthy, what is the use of fasting? So you have to observe fast. And of course, if a person has genuine fear that fasting will cause illness or will damage his health or will be injurious to his health, he should not fast, and fasting will not be valid.
I see. Sheikh Chabit, you know, when you're talking about ill people or sick people and patients, they go to doctors and they sometimes get the doctor's prescription, and in order to improve their bodily health, they need to listen to the doctor's order and obey the doctor's prescription, right?
Yeah.
So regardless of the fact that whether these physicians are Muslim or believers, or they are, let's say, aware of the Islamic laws or not, they sometimes give out those prescriptions. So what is the responsibility on the part of the patients here in this regard if a doctor, in fact, forbids them fasting?
You know, if the physician's statement makes the patient confident that fasting is harmful for him, or he fears of harm in fasting, you know, there are two scenarios. So either, you know, the fear is there either on the basis of the physician's statements or on some other reasonable grounds, then of course it's not obligatory for him to fast. Rather, it can be said that it is not even permissible for him to fast, because he is confident on the because of the fact that the doctor advised him not to fast, and now he is confident enough. In the event that an individual is confident, or he has genuine fear that maybe fasting will have a negative effect, of course he cannot fast, and it will not be permissible to fast.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the Libraries section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on Arabi English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the Islamic laws based on Ayatollah Khamenei and in the month of Ramadan and related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. Well, Sheikh Javid, you know, if some people are suffering from kidney stones, and in order to, let's say, avoid the stones to get bigger and bigger, they need to prevent it from calcifying in their kidneys. So, and they are usually told by the doctors and the physicians to consume a lot of fluids and a lot of water, as the doctors have, let's say, prohibited, in fact, those individuals from fasting. What is their duty regarding this blessed month of Ramadan?
Well, if the treatment of illness, you know, depends or, let's say, requires that you drink water and consume fluids during the day, then it's not obligatory for you to fast, you know, because you have to take care of your health first, and health comes first. So you have to drink as much water as you are, as you can, to, let's say, to protect your kidney and to, let's say, get and to get better. So if drinking water during the day is necessary, you should drink water and take care of your health.
I see. Okay. Likewise, you know, diabetics are somehow required to take insulin injections once or twice a day, depending on, in fact, the severity of their cases. Also, their meals should be or should not be delayed and taken at long intervals. All right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they might get into a coma or get fits. This is why physicians advise them, Sheikh Javi, to have four meals a day sometimes.
Yeah.
So would you please shed some light on their validity of their fasting?
You know, if you know that abstaining from eating and drinking from dawn to sunset is going to be harmful to your health, so, or maybe you fear, because sometimes you are not sure, you do not know for sure. So you have genuine fear that maybe, you know, if you stop eating or if you restrain yourself from eating and drinking, you are going to suffer. So in this case, obviously, fasting is not obligatory. And it will not be, you know, permissible for you to fast. Now, generally speaking, it is not permissible for an individual to fast if fasting is going to be injurious or harmful to your health. And even if it is not, you know, if you do not know that, you know, fasting, if you have that fear, it is enough. And if, you know, fasting is going to, let's say, hamper or slow down the recovery,
yes,
then again, it's not permissible. You know, you might recover sooner or later, but fasting might slow down the process of recovering. Then in that case, again, it's not permissible to fast.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice contribution to this program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to this program, especially in this blessed month. So please keep us in your prayers and supplication. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير ما محيط.